Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Comment on Steve Jack.
Oh, yeah. Welcome into Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WAXM as we continue here tonight on our college football and high school football seasons. Boy, we've been rolling right along here this year on WAXM. Got another jam-packed show for you tonight because we're getting you set for the big game in Big Stone Gap on Friday night. That is Ridgeview and Union coming up Friday night on the station here on 93.5 WAXM, the Big Mountain District Clash between the Wolfpack and the Bears. We'll get you set for that matchup. Their coaches will join us, Dwayne Stanley and Travis Turner. We'll also pick some games later on the show for Eastman Credit Union guest picker. That is the one and the only Tim Hayes of the Bristol Herald Courier joining us coming up later on in the show as well. But who's with me? I'm Jacob Townsend. That's Corey Sanchez. Zach Hilton's over there as well. Zach, good evening. How are you, sir?
If I was doing any better, I'd be illegal. You know, just living life, breathing fresh mountain air, and enjoying football season.
Amen to that. And can you believe it, fellas? We've made it to October. We're in the first show of October. I turned in your timesheets yesterday for the month of September. We are rolling right along here, fellas.
It's Trucktober.
Trucktober. I've heard that in a commercial already. Can't wait. Corey, you drive a truck. I think so does Zach. I don't. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Very good.
I'm better than that truck that the Washington fan base ran over Emmanuel Forbes and A.J. Brown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, you know what?
Yep.
It was close. It was close.
You go for two there.
Yeah, I agree.
I was saying it too.
I was wondering where Riverboat Ron went.
They clipped me off on the team night. Yeah. Y'all heard that. So it was me yelling, go for two.
Peyton Manning said this week on the Pat McAfee show, you trust the coach, though. Just take that for whatever it's worth.
Riverboat Ron and Brain did Jack Del Rio, you know. So he's dust-up Del Rio.
Jeez, all right. Hey, how about a dust-up that we saw Friday night at Falcon Stadium? Let's recap some games here, fellas. Abingdon beat Central 49-12. Corey, we were there.
They were. Yeah, we were there.
What'd you see?
Terrible officiating.
Stop.
I mean, in all seriousness, we're talking about miscounting of yardage and everything. That's the problem. Not what subjective call goes which way in that situation. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I saw an Abingdon squad that had all the answers, still looked a little sloppy. They turned the ball over a couple of times. You know, Owen Barr, he's built like a wide receiver, but he was running through. They had that that big shift that they ran where they had those three boys that were the tight end and the H-back and everything.
Hawkins. Doss and Woods.
Woods, yeah. So, yeah, the law firm shift over there. So if you need, like, insurance or a claim or something, call those boys.
It's a lot of girth moving
on. Yeah, it's a whole lot. It was a lot of thickness there, Paul. But anyway, and you look on the other side, Central, they still have their offensive woes. Sincere Haggins, he left the game with an injury. I think he's going to be okay. But there's a lot of positives. I think they had in that second half. The Brooks kid, who we raved about, he had like six tackles, had a touchdown run. I know that it might have been a mop-up duty. I think that Zeke O'Quinn, he looked a little more comfortable than the other three quarterbacks that they – the other two quarterbacks that they had. One was already coming off an injury and Owen Amos, and then Sincere Haggins, who was the transfer from Baltimore. And I think they got it. They may get something together here offensively, and maybe they can bounce back and get a win against John Battle this week.
We'll pick that game later on tonight. We'll have them next week when they take on Union here on WAXM next Friday night. Eastside went on the road and beat J.I. Burton 28-14. Zach, we were on the Spartans. Close game at the half. Homecoming and loss in Fitchco, but the Spartans, who you've liked since the beginning of the year to sort of bounce back, they've done so. They're 3-2. They're right now the last team in the playoffs in Region 1D. They're fighting for their playoff lives halfway through the year, and they get a nice win over a game that could have tripped them up against J.I. Burton.
Yeah, they you got to go in and definitely ruin homecoming sometimes, and Eastside did that. They've got a tough one coming up this week, but I really like what Eastside's doing. They're not just a baseball school, and I think their rebuild is heading in the right direction.
Eastside 3-2, and they got a big game against two at Carl McConnell Friday night. Rye Cove, who's 5-1 thanks to a win over Lehigh, 31-26. Zach, you and Casey Getz, our guest picker last week, went with the Eagles. The Eagles got the big stop late in the game on an interception by Will Rollins. Lehigh comes up short. They're now 2-3 on the year. And Rye Cove's win boosts them all the way up to number 2 right now in the Region 1D point standings. Right now for that part of it, as we head into October, the VHS will start releasing those. I don't have to do my own math anymore. We can trust them on that if we want to. Zach, Rye Cove, they have a massive win for Gary Collier and the Eagles at home last Friday night.
Well, I'm American, so anytime I can pick an Eagle, I'm going to do so.
Even over Generals, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. Lehigh comes up short, though, in that matchup. I tell you what, Lehigh, 3 losses already for Joey Carroll's squad. They can't let anything really slip away from them down here on the stretch. You got to take care of the business you're expected to take care of.
And that's right, a devastating loss for them, too. I know it's on the road, but the quality of PowerPoint, you kind of...
Well, they'll become massive Rye Cove fans. Mm-hmm. If you're going to lose that game, you better see Rye Cove win out.
Yep.
You better see Rye Cove get to 9 wins and really boost your points there. Lehigh, though, right now would still be the 6th seed in Region 2D. Other games last week, Union beat Twin Springs 4-7. We were all in the Bears. Ridgeview rolls over Richlands 34-12. We all had the Wolfpack. Lebanon defeats John Battle 24-14. I was the only one of the Trojans. Tazewell blows by Grundy 48-8. We all had Tazewell. I wrote the wrong thing down there. Castlewood over Northwood 40-30. Corey! The only one of the Blue Devils. What up? How you like that?
Finally.
Thomas Walker defeats Yanaka 44-26. Myself and Zach were the only one of the Pioneers. And Royal Retreat upsets Patrick Henry 24-14. We didn't pick that game, but hey, I wanted to give credit to Royal Retreat on what they did. Patrick Henry now has 2 head-scratching losses, and they've got a big game against Holston Friday night at home. Our guest picker, Tim Hayes, will be there for the Herald Courier on Friday night if you want to read about it this weekend in the paper. Royal Retreat, though, getting a big win over Patrick Henry, as the Rebels now in recent weeks have a head-scratching loss to Royal Retreat and a head-scratching loss to Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry right now would still be the number 6 seed in the playoffs, while sitting on the outside looking in, the 2 teams who beat them. Grundy's the 9 seed. Royal Retreat right now would be the 10 seed in Region 1D. Last week in Southwest Virginia football, Casey Getz, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton, all 7 out of 8. Myself, 5 out of 8. Not good, Tom.
That's the first time?
Not good.
I think it's the first time all season.
Not good. Not good. I've slipped there. You all are tied for first round of the standings in Virginia, 43 out of 54, almost 80% for you guys. I'm at 41, 75.9%. I brought up the PowerPoints. Let's run through those here quickly. We'll start off in Region 1D. The first place team remains Honecker. No surprise, they're undefeated. Why wouldn't they be number one? That will be an interesting note once we get to Region 2D, though. Honecker sits there in the number one spot. Rye Cove, as I said a moment ago, is now at number 2. Twin Springs only slips to number 3 with the loss to Union. That's not a bad loss in any fashion for the Titans right now. The 4 seed, which means the final team getting a home game in the first round, show Howie, our friends over at the Warriors, and Reed Sturgill. Number 5 is Holston. Number 6 is Patrick Henry. And then the Cumberland District, let's stand up. 7 seed Thomas Walker, 8 seed Eastside, finishing out right now to be the playoffs for that side of the region. Number 9 seed is Grundy, just on the outs looking in. 10 is Royal Retreat. 11 is Hurley. 12, Twin Valley. 13 is Castlewood, jumping out of the cellar to hop over Northwood, who's 14, and right now in last place in Region 1D in the points is the J.I. Burton Raiders. In Region 2D, Union remains number 1, and no surprise, Grahams jumped their way up to number 2, while an undefeated Ridgeview team sits at number 3. Not a ton of great wins on that schedule right now for Ridgeview. Who has the most wins on their schedule of the teams they've beaten? Off the top of my head, they have wins over Central, who's got 1 win. They have a win over J.I. Burton, who has 0 wins. They have a win over Grundy, who has 1 win. They have a win over Richlands, who has 0 wins. They have a win over Virginia High, who has 1 win. And I'm missing Lehigh, who has 2 wins. Lehigh, who has 2 wins, is their best win of the year right now so far for Ridgeview. That's going to change once they play Union this week. We'll pick that game later on. Number 4 seed is going to be Tazewell right now. That would mean they would host Gate City, the 5 seed in the first round of the playoffs. Lehigh's the 6, Marion's the 7, Lebanon's the 8. We have a tie for 9th place. First team's out, Central Wise and Virginia High in that tie for the 9th spot. They're at a flat 13. That's behind Lebanon, who is at 14.7, so they're still a good bit behind the Pioneers there. Number 11 is John Battle. 12 is Richlands to round out the points there. So, Zach, anything that jumps off the page to you there in the points after the first official release from the Virginia High School League?
I think this is the first time since the playoff ratings have been a thing that Rich Lanes has been last. So, got a lot of work to do in Rich Vegas.
A lot of work to do, certainly so. And for Cumberland District right now, Corey, they've got half of the playoff teams in Region 1D. But guess who else has the other half? Hoagie-Higgie, because the Black Diamond right now is left out with Grundy, Twin Valley, and Hurley all in the outside looking again. That will most likely maybe change for one spot for the Black Diamond. We'll find out by the end of the year, but the Cumberland standing up tall.
Yeah, I believe like you and I had three teams in the Cumberland making it to the playoffs. So we underestimated. Shame on us. So we hope that signal gets out to the atmosphere.
But Hoagie-Higgie is certainly class of the region right now. Honaker, Chilhowie, Holston, Patrick Henry, that's four of your top six teams. And that may even move up there down the stretch of the season. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they don't beat up on each other. Let's head to Northeast Tennessee. Last week, Elizabethan beat Dobbins, Bennett 14-7. We all had the Cyclones. Science Hill rolls over Westridge 27-14. We all had the Hilltoppers. Greenville blows out Sullivan East 54-7. We all had the Green Devils. And it was just Casey Getz on Volunteer last week and went against him. David Crockett beats the Falcons. They stay winless 38-18. Last week, myself and Zach went perfect 5 out of 5. Corey missed one game in Tennessee. That was the Yanaka Thomas Walker game that we gave credit to on when we ran through the games in Southwest Virginia, but that was a Northeast Tennessee pick last week. Casey,
pettiness got me, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Casey, 3 out of 5. He missed that game as well, but he also missed the Volunteer game. Standings in Tennessee, Jacob 37, Zach 30, Corey 29. Eastern Kentucky, Zach. Bell County takes loss number one. You were the only one on Rockcastle County. They win 40-38 over the Bobcats.
Yeah, I'll take my victory up now. I'll make it around Bell County if I have to.
Please do. Hey, and we'll see what you say tonight about the Bobcats here in just a moment. Corbin defeats Johnson Central 34-6. Zach was the only one on Johnson Central. Middlesbrough 40, Harlan 24. We all had the Yellow Jackets, and it was Floyd Central for Knott County Central 36-20. We all liked Floyd. Last week, we all went 3 out of 4. I'm at 29 in Kentucky. Zach 27, Corey 26. High school last week, Zach 15, Corey 14, myself 13. Standings in high school, I have 107, 77%. Zach's at 101, 72.7%, and Corey's at 94, 67.6%. Let's pick some games in Eastern Kentucky for Week 8. Yes, I said it, Week 8. Can't believe it. Hazard's 1-6. Paintsville's 2-4. Zach Helton, who do you like in the battle there between those two teams trying to find their way right now?
I'm going to go Paintsville at home in this one.
Paintsville at home for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, let's go Paintsville.
Paintsville for Corey. I'll go Paintsville as well. They've won the last 2, 4 of the last 5. They control the series 18-13. Middlesbrough travels to Pineville. The Yellow Jackets are 4-2, but they make the short trip over to see the Mountain Lions, who are 1-6. Corey, who do you like down in the Bell County area?
Let's go with Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough on the road for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, let's celebrate the Middlesbrough Cracker Barrel. Go Middlesbrough on the road.
I like Middlesbrough on the road as well. They've won the last 3, 5 of the last 6. They control this series in emphatic fashion so far in their history. I like Middlesbrough as well. Knox Central travels to Bell County. Bell County's 6-1. Knox Central's 4-2. Zach, does Bell County pick up loss number 2?
Yes, they do. Emphatically.
Ooh, call your shot there for Knox Central, Corey.
Let's go Bell County.
Bell County at home for Corey. I like Bell County as well. They control this series 58-17-1, but Knox Central won last year. Problem was, Bell County won the previous 20 and 34 of the last 36 in this series. Give me Bell County at home and our friend.
Zach Helton likes those odds.
Yeah, I know. He's going with them. I like the road team. They're playing well this year. Let's see if they can get win number 5, though. I don't think they do. Corbin's undefeated. They travel to Letcher County Central. Hello, Whitesburg. They're 4-2. Corey, you saw them. You like them?
Yeah, not in this one, though. Yeah, I think Corbin will be finger-licking good in this game.
Zach?
You know, in memoriam of Corbin Burnson, great third baseman in the Major League and also tremendous lawyer on L.A. Law, I'm going to go Corbin. He's still alive, though, but we're still going to go in memoriam.
In memoriam. Thank you very much. Go ahead and just get a little preemptive chance there for them, for our friends on L.A. Law, obviously. I'll go Corbin on the road as well. They've only played once. Corbin won. Let's see if they make it twice. All right, coming up, Ridgeview head coach Dwayne Stanley and Union head coach Travis Turner joins the show to preview the big game at Buller Park on Friday night that we have here on 93.5 to BXM tomorrow night. Following that, we'll be back for college football. Tennessee gets a nice win over South Carolina. And hello, ACC win column for Virginia Tech. We'll talk about all that as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and lit pasta sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
We never knew how to forfeit, but we always knew how to talk.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will rejoin us coming up here in just a few moments. In this segment, though, we're going to get you set for the big game coming up tomorrow night right here on WAXM. That is the massive Mountain District Clash between the undefeated Ridgeview Wolfpack, sitting at 6-0 on the year, and the 5-1 Union Bears at Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap. Both teams, though, undefeated in the Mountain District. Ridgeview 2-0, Union 2-0. Head coach Dwayne Stanley of the Wolfpack, at the moment in his second year as the head coach, has yet to lose a Mountain District game since taking over the job now almost 2 years ago in Dickinson County, and he's looking for a second straight win over Union. Ridgeview only has 2 ever wins over the Bears in the school's history, the second one coming last year, but none of them being at Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap. They're 0-for when playing at the home of the Bears, as are a number of teams going into that environment in Big Stone Gap on a Friday night. Ridgeview is going to try to get set for it, though, and they're going to be led by their junior quarterback, Ryan O'Quinn. And as I spoke to the head coach of the Wolfpack earlier this week, Dwayne Stanley, he's going to be relying upon Ryan O'Quinn and a number of others if they're going to be able to pull off the win on the road and stay undefeated in the district and on the season as a whole. Coach, you're off to a nice start throughout the year again, 6-0 in overall, 2-0 in the district. What's been going well for you all so far for the first half and a little bit more of that of the regular season so far?
Well, you know, we played pretty well on defense, put a few drives together on offense, lines got better, we blocked well. I mean, we just played pretty solid football.
For the first few weeks of the year, you were winning games in sort of blowout fashion, a little bit of a closer game a couple weeks ago against Virginia High, a 16-0 win over the Bearcats. You're coming off of a 34-12 win over Richlands this past week. Let's start off with the offensive side of it. Everybody knows about your junior quarterback, Ryan O'Quinn. What's been the biggest things he's developed on throughout the first portion of his junior year from what you've seen from the first 2 years of him as the starting quarterback?
I think he's just gotten more comfortable being a quarterback, being a leader. He doesn't force as much stuff. You know, he takes what you give him. He's done a bit better job of pulling it down and running with the ball. You know, it's just things that come with experience.
You, for your first couple of district games against Central and Lehigh, one on the road, one at home, winning both of those pretty in a definite fashion over both the Warriors and the Generals. For the first couple of games in district play, what have you made sure your team understands coming off of your last year where y'all didn't lose a district game and now you're off to a nice start in district play again, of how to make sure they're not overlooking some of the district opponents and not what you all have done so well, really, and what I want to get to the point here, Coach, is that what you all have done so well of not making sure you've looked over anybody knowing this Union game was sitting here waiting for you on the first Friday night of October?
You know, I think when you lose as many people from a team as we did last year, those guys coming in, they're not going to overlook anyone. They're hungry enough to know they've got to show up every week and play. I thought we've done a really good job of that. You know, we've just focused on us and not our schedule. You just show up, you play as hard as you can, you prepare that week, and then you go out and see what happens. And we've done that week after week.
We talked about your offense a moment ago. Your defense has been really good as well. You brought it up a moment ago as well. What has been working so well for them against really everybody? You've pitched a couple of shutouts there for the early portion of the year, and now you've handled your last couple of opponents before making sure they can't get too high on the scoreboard. Richland's at 12 points, Lehigh at 7 in the last two. What's been the biggest thing for them on defense so far this season?
Being aggressive, swarming to the ball. You know, earlier in the preseason especially, I didn't think we did a very good job of getting enough guys to the football. We've done a lot better job with that here than we did. So I think, you know, things like that, alignment, assignment, and aggression, the triple A of defense, you know, you do those three things, you'll be pretty good.
Dwayne Stanley, head coach of the Ridgeview Wolfpack, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM as they take on Union this Friday in Big Stone Gap at Bullet Park. You brought up the fact of all the guys you lost from a year ago and now replacing those guys with not only some new guys, but also some guys who had some experience that's coming off the bench in some portions of the year last year in 2022, and the growth out of them that you've seen for the first six games of the year. Now you take them on the road to take on a Union football team that's off to a nice start. They're 5-1. They're undefeated in the district. They've got some real nice resume wins on their schedule so far for Travis Turner's squad. What do you want to make sure those guys who haven't quite been in an environment like Bullet Park on Friday night are ready for, to make sure that they're expecting and prepared for the right things on Friday night?
I'm not real sure you can prepare people for Bullet Park. You know, you go down there and, you know, it's noisy. They've got horns blowing everywhere. There's fans real close to the field. It's a great atmosphere. You know, I'm sure when we first get there, we'll be a little nervous. But, you know, our kids, they'll show up and they'll be ready to play. Once the game gets started, you know, you make some contact. Usually most of that goes away and you just focus and you don't hear all that stuff.
What is going to be the biggest keys for you all against a Union team that you've seen on tape? Well, let's start off before we get to the keys. So let me ask you this, Coach. What is the things you've seen the most out of Union this year that's improved from last year, where they were a team that's sort of in the middle of the pack of the district, not on the top tier where they've been in recent years? They finished in third place a year ago. What have you seen on tape for their first six games of the year that Travis Turner's squad's really improved upon to be 5-1 so far this year and undefeated in the Mountain District?
They're just so consistent. You know, offensively, they've got big play capability. They've got two or three guys can score at any time. They run a lot of different formations. They get different people the ball. And then on defense, you know, their defense plays as well together as any defense I've seen. You know, they've got good players, but I think that just the sum of those players together, they do such a good job of complementing each other. You know, you can just see the communication between them. They line up where they're supposed to. Everyone understands their job and what the guy next to him is supposed to do. So, you know, that just shows up. They're consistent in everything they do on both sides of the ball.
Biggest keys for your team on Friday night going against Union?
I mean, it's the same as it is every week. You know, it's don't give up big plays. Don't turn the ball over. Don't commit penalties.
That was the head coach of the Ridgeview Wolfpack, Dwayne Stanley, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM as they get set to take on the Union Bears. And I spoke with the head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner, earlier this week as well. As they get set for this matchup, they're on a massive streak of massive games right now for Union. They opened up the year, obviously, with the district game of Lehigh and Ridgeview in blowout fashion the first 2 weeks. Then they were at home for the game against Science Hill. They lost 27-6 against the Class 6 team from the Tri-Cities in Northeast Tennessee, the Hilltoppers. Then they went on the road and defeated the defending state champions, Graham, who are on a 33-game regular season home winning streak, on an 18-game home winning streak, beat the G-men 27-14 a few weeks ago. Came back home, and everybody thought maybe they go sleepwalking, maybe it's a hangover effect. Didn't happen against Gate City. Revenge was on the mind for losing to the Blue Devils twice last year. They run over Gate City 35-0. And then last week, they took care of business of a second straight Scott County school by going on the road and thrashing Twin Springs 40-7. Now they come back home with the biggest,
Mountain District game of the year for them against Ridgeview. And again, looking for revenge. The Wolfpack beat them last year on the Rose Ridge 20-11 last October. Now this time they come to Bullitt Park. Union's not only looking to stay atop the Mountain District and Region 2D as a whole, but looking to make sure they get back on top of the series against the Wolfpack as well. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner.
Let's go back a little bit here. We talked to you a couple weeks ago prior to the Gate City game. That was coming off the win over Graham. There was a thought out of some that maybe your team would have a little bit of a hangover after the big win over the G-Men, the defending state champions. That's not been the case. You beat Gate City 35-0. This past week, you went on the road and beat Twin Springs 40-7. What have you liked most about your team in the last 2 weeks and how they've responded to the big success in the win over Graham a few weeks ago?
I think the last couple of weeks, our guys have done really well on practice on Monday through Thursday, and I think that's carried over to Friday night. I think that's the biggest thing, that you know they're getting after in practice, good competition, we're competing hard in practice, and I think that's carried over to the games. And we got a good group of young kids that are excited to play. They get fired up to play every Friday night.
You continue to play well in recent weeks. Bring up the Graham game, Gate City, Twin Springs. We talked about it on the show a few weeks ago about this stretch of games you all had, really beginning back at the Science Hill game, and it's continuing here through the Ridgeview game, where it is opponent after opponent that has had a ton of success in recent years, and there's a lot of total wins in recent years in that regard, and that includes Ridgeview this week as well. It's a game you all lost a year ago to the Wolfpack as they went undefeated in the Mountain District. How much is it about this team? How much have you heard of your team this week? Talk about the fact of you lost to the Wolfpack a year ago and now looking to get a little bit of revenge this time around at home.
Well, you know, Ridgeview, they're the Mountain 7 district champions. They were senior loaded last year with a lot of kids that got after it, had really good years. You know, Cannon Hill and Beavers and those guys, man, they had a special year last year being district champions. They played in the Region D championship game, so we're definitely excited to play them. You know, they're still the top dog, and nobody's knocked them off. They're undefeated, so that's kind of the way we're looking at it. They're the big dogs on the block right now. Ridgeview is.
You're a former quarterback. You have a great respect for that position, and you've seen Ridgeview's quarterback Ryan O'Quinn play since he was a freshman a couple years ago, now a junior. And we've talked about this in previous times when you've played him from where he developed from a freshman to a sophomore. Now as a junior, and he's doing it without those guys you just rattled off, the seniors who went on to have an opportunity to play Division II football if they wanted to, and Brandon Beavers, Cannon Hill, even Coda Count, as well as another guy he lost from a year ago on that team that made it all the way to the region title game. What have you seen out of the development as a former quarterback and a now quarterback coach, certainly, and what you've been able to do in years past as an assistant, now as a head coach, and how Ryan O'Quinn has developed at Ridgeview?
I think he's one of the top quarterbacks from Southwest Virginia. I think he's great. Number one, he's a great athlete. He can make plays with his feet when the pocket breaks down. I think that's when he's the most dangerous, is when he's moving around in the pocket making throws on the run. And I think over the last couple of years, you know, he's obviously developed in the throwing game, and you know, man, he's one of the top guys in this area, and he's had a really good year so far. I mean, they've played lots out on offense. They're able to throw the ball, run the ball, and he does a lot for them. He does more for them now than he has last couple of years. You know, a lot of the run game goes through him. He's one of their top running backs.
Travis Turner, the head coach of the Union Bears, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. And you bring up their offense. It's rattled off points after points after points throughout the first part of the season, except for really the Virginia High game where they only beat the Bearcats 16-0. When you look back at that game on film, how much do you take away of what you saw Virginia High able to do on the defensive side to sort of slow down their offense?
Well, I think Virginia High, you know, they match them athletically. Virginia High's got some good athletes, especially in the defensive backfield. That you know, they could play some man coverage against Ridgeview and load the box up, stop the run. So, I mean, obviously, we're looking at those type of things, and I think playing at Virginia High is tough. That's a tough road game. So I think that maybe Virginia High a little fired up that game and got after them a little bit. But Ridgeview, you know, Ridgeview shut them out. You know, defensively, Ridgeview's just as tough as anybody we played this year.
And you bring up the road game part of it. It's going to be a road game for them on Friday night when they come to Bullitt Park as well. And they're going to be facing another stout defense in what you all have been able to do in recent weeks. 14 points to Graham, a shutout of Gate City, only 7 points the Twins brings this past week to the Titans. Your defense continues to play really well. What's going to be the most important things for them to keep improving, not only through Friday night against Ridgeview, but for the rest of the year as well, knowing that the postseason is the biggest goal?
The biggest thing, just got to continue to improve each week. Got to be able to tackle well. You know, got to be able to line up correctly, get in line correctly, tackle well in space. Ridgeview's got a couple of wideouts that do a good job of catching a short ball, and they can break a tackle and turn it into a 40, 50-yard game. So we got to be able to tackle well in space. And our defensive line and inside linebackers got to do a great job on the run fits. And not overplaying the run on the inside run game.
A lot of eyes were on your offense coming into the year, Coach. We've talked about it a number of times from the preseason on to the couple times we've talked during the regular season as well. Offense has certainly taken steps forward from last year into this year and have kept improving week in and week out. Now they take on a Ridgeview team and a good defense there for Kent Grant and the Wolfpack on that side of the ball. What's going to be the biggest keys for your offense on Friday night?
I think it starts with the offensive line in a run game and pass protection. You know, Ridgeview blitzes a lot. They like to bring pressure. So we're definitely going to have to work on our blitz pickups. And Rayshon's going to do a good job reading the defenses, getting the ball out of his hand, and getting it to our playmakers.
Travis Turner, the head coach of the Bears, joins us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXN. They take on Ridgeview Friday night at Bullitt Park in Big Stone Gap. We'll have the game for you here on 93.5 WXN. Pregame 6:30. Kickoff at 7. And, Coach, we bring up Bullitt Park. We were there a couple weeks ago for the Gate City game. It felt a little old school to me. We were there for the Richlands game early on as well. Obviously, Science Hill was a big game there the week after that. It's feeling like more and more Bullitt Park getting a little bit back to the old way of the crowds and that home field advantage. Not to say it hasn't been in recent years, but it's been a little bit of a different feel to them this year, in my opinion. The couple games I've been there for, should be another great one there again Friday night with the crowd.
Yeah, we're expecting a great atmosphere. I think Ridgeview's going to bring a great crowd, too. So it should be an exciting time here in Big Stone Gap. And our kids feed off the home crowd. And you know, we have great fan support, great community support that are behind this football team. And we want to continue to play well for those guys that come out to the game and support us.
That was head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Again, it's Union hosting Ridgeview tomorrow night at Bullitt Park in Big Stone Gap. We'll have the game for you here on 93.5 WAXM. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock, and it's our second straight game on our schedule that is homecoming. We had homecoming last week at Abingdon. They did it prior to the game. We're going to Union. They're doing it the standard way, doing it at halftime. I kind of like the pregame affair of it. I'll pass that around as an idea there for other schools. Didn't hate it. But we will have the big game between the Wolfpack and the Bears in Big Stone Gap tomorrow night with myself and Corey Sanchez on the call. Speaking of Sanchez, him and Zach Helm will join me coming up after the break as we talk some college football. Tennessee gets revenge on South Carolina, and hello, win column, Virginia Tech absolutely knocks away Pittsburgh in their ACC opener this past Saturday as well. We'll touch on a number of college football topics as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
It'll be fine by dusk light, I'm telling you, babe. These things eat at some bones to drive you young mind.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. It's a lot of Southwest Virginia love in this segment. We want to say thank you to Dwayne Stanley and Travis Turner as well for joining us in the last segment. We're about to give away our Terry Kilgore Leadership Award to our best player in our area of Southwest Virginia for Southwest Virginia's delegate, Terry Kilgore. And Zach, I think you know the voice of that guy there singing there as we come out of the break.
Tremendous young man. Noah Spencer. He's on The Voice right now from Richlands. He played football and wrestled at Richlands. And I remember we had a coach's show a few years ago when he was playing, and he actually brought his guitar and played for us. And he's been hitting a lot of local areas. I know he'll be down in Wise County soon at Kirkland. So Wise County folks, if you haven't checked out Noah Spencer, go by and see him. He is a tremendous young talent. He's a great young man, and he's rising quickly. So hop on that bandwagon before it gets too full.
He was on The Voice this week. He advanced. He's on the team now with the guy. What's the guy's name? Anybody know? He's on the team.
I don't know.
One Direction.
He doesn't matter. No one matters. That guy doesn't matter.
Oh, what's the answer? Yeah. Niall Horan?
Yeah.
Am I pronouncing that correctly, Corey?
You could probably make a quick call and figure out what his name is.
Okay, well, I'll do that after.
There you go.
Niall Horan's we're going to go with, though. He chose him over Reba McEntire and Gwen Stefani. I've already made my case about that during a commercial break. Let's pick some new Terry Kilgore, good delegate player of the week here. They're our leadership award, fellas. And the guy we're about to pick, biggest win of the week by anybody? We say for that? Rock Cove's win over Lehigh, Aurora Retreat's win over Patrick Henry. What's the bigger win?
Since we're closer on this side to Rock Cove, I think it's more important.
Eagles for Corey, Zach?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Rock Cove.
I'm good with that because we got the Scott County delegate. We'll go with the Scott County team. That's how we do it here. Will Rollins of Rock Cove, their fullback, who had 105 yards, two touchdowns. You're thinking, hey, what in the world? 105 yards gets you the player of the week now? Come on now, Townsend. Two touchdowns. The game-sealing interception was his biggest play of the night with 18 seconds left of Brennan Pendergraft and Lehigh. Will Rollins and Rye Cove, our leadership award for this week from the good delegate, Terry Kilgore. Congratulations to all of Scott County there on that pick. And, fellas, let's talk some college football, shall we? Tennessee beat South Carolina 41-20 in Neyland Stadium for Saturday night. We were all in the Vols. They did lose Brew McCoy, their top receiver. He's done for the year after fracturing his right ankle, I should say. If you haven't seen that video, don't go out there and find it. It's ugly. Tennessee, though, their defense really steps up nice in the game. They give up 63 points on 3,000 yards approximately a year ago in this game down in Columbia. Defense stepped up. Offense played a little bit better. I'm still looking for a little bit more, though, out of the Vols. But, Zach, Shane Beamer in South Carolina can't back it up against Tennessee after winning last year. And now Beamer in South Carolina sits 2-3 overall and 1-2 in SEC play through the month of September.
Shane and the boys in South Carolina having a tough start to the year, but Tennessee, that's a good back game to go in and get the win. Tennessee trying to overcome that one loss, and I think they're going to be all right in the East. They've got Georgia coming up. They've got they've got Bama coming up, so you got a couple of games, but you can't look ahead in the SEC, and Tennessee did that and got the win.
And they have Texas A&M coming to town in the next game next week when they take on the Aggies. Mm-hmm. Checker Nealon will be in effect there for that 3:30 CBS kick against Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M. Notre Dame beats Duke 21-14. Ole Miss over LSU as the Rebels maybe eat some soap there after that one. I brought it up last week. Lane Kiffin never won a big game. And I stand by that. He had never won a big game. He now has his biggest win of his time at Ole Miss.
with the win over LSU. 739 yards of offense for the Rebels, Corey, I believe, against that LSU defense. Yeah, I just said that. 739 yards
that's
against
a lot
LSU
of any,
defense.
That's a lot at any level of football.
My goodness gracious, 55 points, and LSU still had the chance. They had a chance in the end zone the last play of the game. You and Zach were both on the Rebels. Texas beats Kansas 40-14. USC over Colorado 48-41. We were all on the Trojans. They hang on. Kentucky beats Florida 33-14. I was the only one of the Wildcats. It was Oregon State defeating Utah 21-7 on Friday night. I was the only one of the Beavers. And there was Virginia Tech beating Pittsburgh, Zach, 38-21. I was the only one of the Panthers. I have to eat that one because the Hokies are now 1-0 in ACC play.
Stand up. The revolution is beginning.
Hey, here's the thing, folks. We're coming up with our picks later on. I think he firmly believes that, Corey.
I think he does.
I think he believes that. We'll talk about their picks
later on. I'm just
going to
say, can we, like, y'all ever seen The Waterboy when the LT scene happens? I feel we're going to have a moment with that with Zach. Since they're playing Florida State, and he's going to do all this explanation, and then we're just going to sit there like LT and be like, lesson two, kids, don't do drugs. I'm paraphrasing that, but, you know.
Sure. We've seen Stephen A. do that as well there on First Take, and we'll see what we have to do about that. I believe they got Wake Forest coming up after that one, Zach. Am I right on that?
I'm looking at I'm one game at a time. I'm looking straight ahead at Florida State.
I'm telling you, Wake Forest, that's winnable this year. I think I had it as a win coming into the year anyways. But Wake Forest not looking good right now for Dave Clawson and the Demon Deacons down in Winston-Salem. Boston College defeats Virginia 27-24. The Cavs still can't find a win. Corey was the only one in Virginia. Catawba blows by Emory Henry 30-13. Corey and Zach, like the Indians, myself and Casey, were on the Wasps. And Lenore Ryan beats UVA Wise 56-3. The Bears. Well, they're a top 25 team for a reason, Corey. Boy, they look like it's Saturday in Hickory, 56-3, the final score. Zach, 9 out of 11 last week in college. Myself and Corey, 8 out of 11. Casey, 7 out of 11 last week in the college pick. Standings, myself, 36. Corey and Zach, 33. Fellas, it's time for the Eliminator. We haven't had any change in a few weeks. We'll see if that changes here in just a moment. Corey's team right now, number 11, Alabama. Number 9, USC. Now number 23, LSU. Number 2, Michigan as well. My team, number 1, Georgia. Number 10, Notre Dame. Number 6, Penn State. Number 3, Texas. And Zach's team, number 4, Ohio State. Number 5, Florida State. Number 7, Washington. And now with a one-loss, Utah. They're ranked number 18 in the country by the AP poll. Corey, as always, we'll start with you.
Yes.
Are you making some changes?
Yes, we will switch out the Bayou Bengal Kitties. And we will go for a more sophisticated meal, and we will put ducks on there.
I was wondering who was going to be the first to go with Oregon there. Boy, they've been sitting out there just waiting for somebody, haven't they? And finally, somebody does go with Oregon. That will be Corey. So his new team right now, Alabama, USC, Michigan, and Oregon. If he wants to make any more changes, he has to wait until later. We'll come back around to him. I am not going to make any changes at the moment. I'm sticking with Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Texas, even with Notre Dame's one loss 2 weeks ago to Ohio State. Zach, your team, Utah, picked up a loss this past week. Ohio State, Florida State were both on a bye. Washington was able to survive on the road to Arizona. Do you want to make some changes?
I do. I'm going to drop Utah, and I'm going to pick up. UNC.
Ooh, North Carolina.
See, I think the ACC is wide open right now.
So he's going to pick up a second ACC team, drop his second Pac-12 team, pick up a second ACC team to go Florida State. And he's going to pick up the Fighting Drake Mays in the Tar Heels. So Zach's team right now, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, North Carolina. So, Corey, Utah's now on the board as well. Mm-hmm. Your team now is Alabama, USC, Michigan, Oregon. Do you want to make any changes?
You know what? No, but I just want to preface this right here. A real man who's confident in their team would probably take their opponent off their eliminator.
Oh, a little preemptive?
I'm just feel like...
Wait, for those who don't know, Virginia Tech plays at Florida State this week. That's on.
I just feel
State.
Like we're going to get a whole bunch of baby back bull mess. And I feel it coming. The radar is like just... like it's like I can see all this maroon and orange storm just coming around. But... I, you know, where I come from, and I think a lot of people in Tornadoville and probably possibly in Raven would put their money where their mouth was. But
those are fighting words, Zach.
Yeah, I guess they got to get a new mayor up there.
That's a lot of stuff to say over the phone, essentially.
You know, I'd say it to you.
I'm a man. Hey, I'm a man. I'm almost 40.
Hey, that guy's a man and got beat by 26 by South Alabama 2 weeks ago.
Here's what Corey's trying to do. Corey's trying to bait me into getting
rid of Florida State. No, I'm not.
So he can pick them up.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm just saying, if you're just that confident, if you're that confident in your team, you should go ahead and just go to the point, drop the Seminoles. Come on, Cletus.
I believe a one-loss Florida State team will still be in the mix at the end of the season.
Hey,
that's why I'm keeping them.
You walk over, you limp back. That's all they're going to say. You walk over, you limp back.
I don't want to make any changes to my team. Good. Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, I'm good with them. Zach, the rules say I have to ask you again. Your team is Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, North Carolina. Any more changes for you? Corey's trying to get you to make some.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't Matt Canada him like that.
Oh, that's even worse.
I don't know.
I wouldn't do that to you. No,
yeah,
just
well, we're not doing that.
Not gonna do
we're
it.
We're not doing it.
I'm just laying the chips on the table.
All right, maybe a change.
Right, we'll lay
them
out there, baby.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm getting in the headlock next time I see Zach.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm in your head, Warder.
Oh, boy. I almost lost my darn headset there. All right, coming up, it's time for four downs of college football questions. Hey, LSU lost. They're the defending SEC West champions. Who is the best team in the West? Is it still Alabama? Is it somebody else? And then who's the best team in the Big Ten, the Pac-12 as well? And we're done with 1 month for the college football season, guys. Who is the coach on the hottest seat in America? We'll talk about that coming up as well. As we continue, Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Corey Sanchez.
Woo.
Zach Helton. Jacob Townsend. Woo. Here with you on a Thursday night as we continue here this evening. Coming up, we'll pick some games with Tim Hayes, our Eastman Credit Union guest picker from the Bristol Herald Courier, coming up later on in the show. Boy, you like this song.
Woo,
huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you guys were all about this.
Here you go. Look,
what's this band? What's this band again? Feel.
Pump that up. Pump that up. Pump that up. Just a second now. Everybody knows it.
Do we?
And leave a blade in my hand. In my hand. There you go.
Who sings that, Corey?
Fuel, baby, fuel.
You should let them.
Yeah,
let
thank,
them
you.
Sing
fuel.
It. Thank you.
Fuel. Thank I'm you. Part let of fuel. I'm yeah. fuel because I'm lit. I'm just straight I'm gasoline.
I'm scared to death right now.
I'm lit, but it's something else.
Yeah, I
hit that. Yeah, yeah. No, you ain't lit. You just, you chilling. You ice chilling back there after, you know, you got this big about that Florida State mess.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. You didn't get me this time. You know, I know what you were doing.
No, you don't. You don't know what I was doing.
I do. Know.
I'm too busy watching my Commanders right now, so leave me alone.
Oh boy.
Just go ahead and kick one and lay down.
Yeah. See how the Bears are doing tonight against you as they're fighting for their first win of the season. Four downs of college football questions, fellas. How about we do first down first? Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the favorite in the SEC West? Corey Sanchez.
I'm getting tired
everybody
of you.
Everybody has a loss. Everybody has
care.
A loss. Alabama has a loss to Texas. Texas A&M has a loss to Miami, but they're undefeated in conference play. Ole Miss has one conference loss to Alabama. LSU has one conference loss to Ole Miss. Then you have Auburn, Arkansas, and Mississippi State all have at least two losses. Mississippi State has three. Who's the favorite in the SEC West?
It's the team that keeps on winning that division.
Well, it was LSU last year.
For the most part, who's been winning this division?
I believe you're saying Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. The Slammers.
Seems like maybe a lean there for Corey in the big game between them and Texas A&M. Zach, who's your favorite in the West, and could it maybe be decided this weekend in College Station?
I think it can be, and I think it is Alabama. I think as long as Nick Saban's still alive, I think Alabama has a chance.
Yeah, I have Alabama written down as well. Interesting idea, though, that it may be decided this week, the first Saturday in October. And maybe could the East be decided, too? Kentucky and Georgia both undefeated? I don't want to go that far, but you're just throwing out the idea there. Second down, Zach. Who's the best team in the Big Ten? I'll give you three options. Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State?
Right now, I think it's Ohio State. Penn State has to go to Ohio State this week, so one of those will be eliminated, and then Penn State hosts Michigan on Veterans Day. So the great thing is all three will play each other. So, but I'm going to go Ohio State. I think after an early scare, they're going to be in the right frame of mind going down the stretch here.
The Big Ten went ahead and announced their conference schedules for the next 6 years today, with the addition of USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon coming up here next season. The only rivalry game they're keeping intact out of these three is Michigan, Ohio State. The Penn State game for both of these teams will not be kept year in and year out. It'll be on there next year, I believe, for both sides, but not moving forward will it be on there on an annual basis. Michigan had two rivalry games kept, their game against Michigan State and the one against Ohio State. Corey, we're split on this one. You've got Michigan in your eliminator. Zach has Ohio State. I have Penn State. So who's the best team in the Big Ten?
Team is dominating, boy. What's wrong with you? Big Blue.
Dominating East Carolina.
That's right.
Bowling Green.
Nebraska.
Nebraska, Rutgers, I'm missing
it's
one.
It's okay.
I don't remember who
who's
the other
winning?
One was.
Who's been winning? Who's been winning the big? Who's won the last 2 years?
The last 2 years, but yes.
Who's won the last 2 years?
Michigan.
Okay, man. I'm making it simple for you, Jacob.
I like
Why are you
Penn
going
State.
High register?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Are you
I don't
okay?
Know what, I don't know what just happened there.
Are you okay?
What's up with y'all's voices today?
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm predicting Zach is just going to have this, like, this low body moment here.
Yeah, it's going to scare me half to death, probably, yeah.
I'm putting that in the atmosphere.
You know what I do late tonight when we're off the air? I'm just going to call and scream at you.
Please do.
I won't pick up the phone.
Yeah, don't.
The phone's on silent on that tonight.
So I'm going to go Ohio State as well. I'm actually going to go with Zach on this one. I had Ohio State in the playoff coming into the year. Yes, I have Penn State in my eliminator. I think Penn State will beat Michigan. I don't think they beat Ohio State. I'm going to go with the Buckeyes because they have the best win out of these guys. They have the win over Notre Dame on the road, which may be the best win in the country. Third down, Corey. Who's the best team in the Pac-12? Colorado's got two losses. They're off the board. Oregon State's got a loss. Utah's got a loss. Hey, Jake Dickert at Washington State, don't come after me. I'm not 88 years old. But they're undefeated. I don't have them on the board here, though. Your choices are USC, Oregon, and Washington. They're in order in the AP Top 25. Washington 7, Oregon 8, USC 9. Who do you like?
I like Oregon. I like defense. I like the defense out there because, you know, you think some of these West Coast teams are more offensive-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what they did to Shadizor and Dion and all them a couple weeks ago, and, you know, how USC, although it was a home game for Shadizor and company, I think that, Oregon, that defense will travel. And I think they're the best team right now. They've got – USC has the best quarterback, probably have better quarterbacks than Bo Nix and Washington and USC. Yeah. But I think as a team, you and I have talked about it off before, I think Oregon is the better overall team.
Zach, who do you like in the Pac-12?
You know, I agree with a lot of what Corey says, but I really think USC has more to lose. Therefore, I think they're going to be the top dog when it's all said and done. They've got Washington at home and Oregon on the road in back-to-back weeks. So they're going to be kind of high top-of-mind awareness back-to-back weeks. And I kind of like that. I like when big games are back-to-back. You can't really look ahead. You can't really, lay down for someone. So I like USC. I think the Trojans are back, and I think this is their year to kind of sneak into the playoffs.
I still believe, as I said coming into the Pac-12, was going to beat up on each other like they do every year. They do it every single year. As I think that's probably what's going to happen again. As you bring up the USC having the back-to-back games of Washington and Oregon that knocks them out of the college football playoff race in their final year. I'm going to go. The question is, who is the best team? I'm going to say the best team right now is Washington. I love that offense. Michael Penix Jr., the transfer from Indiana, should be a Heisman candidate if he's not by those stupid voters. He should be one. I really like that football team. And I tell you what, he works with a lot of blank space out there, Corey, is what he does. And he is a playmaker. I like that offense.
Swift reference?
Yes, it was.
I'm trying to get through football without Taylor Swift references, and here you are.
I'm sorry. Blame Corey.
That's my fault. I didn't do anything.
That was my Iron Eagle impersonation, as Iron brought it out before everybody else did a few weeks ago, before she actually showed up to a game. Luckily, though, there are no Taylor Swift questions on the sheet for this week. There's always next week, though. There's always next week. Who will she write a song about? What song that she writes about Travis in the future when they break up, will it be most similar to her songs about John Mayer, Joe Jonas, Jake Gyllenhaal?
The questions. She's with John Mayer?
Yeah. The questions we have coming up here. Yeah. Well, I've got them already ready for you, Zach. We may do a four downs of Swifty questions coming up next week. I'm going to go Washington now. Fourth down, Zach. After 1 month of the season, what coach should feel the most heat on the hot seat?
You know, we talked a little bit about him last segment. I think Shane Beamer is on a hot seat because they got the quarterback they wanted. You know, they were all on Spencer Rattlesnake there and thought he was going to, you know, take over the East, and he's kind of fizzled here lately. So I think Shane Beamer might be on the hot seat in the SEC.
And Rattler, to be quite honest about it, he's not played bad. His offensive line is horrid, though. Tennessee was in his face all night. North Carolina, who couldn't stop us three on the football field with their defense for Gene Chizik, they couldn't block them either. I'm worried about his health and safety moving forward, if he's going to be able to last the entire year, as they're off to a 2-3 start, 1-2 in the SEC right now for Beamer and the Gamecocks. Corey, who's on the hottest seat in America?
Huh. I think we'll learn a lot more this week in College Station.
Jimbo? I do.
Yeah.
What does the man got to do? What does the man got to do? I mean, they're first of all, I don't see them firing. They're going to have to pay him $77 million.
They got their money.
You're going to have to pay somebody else money, too, though, if you hire somebody.
They got their money.
That money just – there is a bottom. They're not the Saudis. There is a bottom to their
money. I don't know. Okay? They might be on the live tour. You never know.
Well, give it time. They're coming to the PGA. I don't think Jimbo's on the list, even if they lose this game, because I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think Jimbo's going to lose this football team. I think he's going to be okay and be back.
There you go. I'll give you another one then.
Okay.
I know they don't care about football up there, but it's been a rough go emotionally for him. you got to think at the mothership up there in Charlottesville.
Tony Elliott?
Yeah. I mean, they haven't won a game yet, Jacob. And the wins are starting to be far and few and in between.
Yeah. I don't think so. Because of the issues of last year, I think Tony's going to get a year three no matter what. But, boy, you're right, though. They are in some trouble. They're 0-5, but they've had their chances. I mean, they've had close games. James Madison, NC State, Boston College. Should have been some wins there for Tony Elliott and the Cavaliers. I didn't have him written down. I really had one, I think, from almost every Power 5 conference except the Pac-12. But the one I'm going to lean on the most, though, is right now Tom Allen at Indiana. One of the hottest commodity coaches a couple years ago after his big year in 2019. And now, ever since, it's just never been the same. He lost Michael Penix in the transfer portal. He went to Washington. His former offensive coordinator is the head coach at Washington. He's not been the same since Kalen DeBoer left the play calling booth there for the Hoosiers. Tom Allen, Indiana's lost control there with the Hoosiers. They're not getting back on track. I'm worried about that program. Some other ones, though, to keep an eye on, Sam Pittman of Arkansas, Dana Holgorsen of Houston, the former West Virginia coach. We joked about him earlier. Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. It's not looking good. And I brought this up last week. Maybe not that he will get fired, but maybe he'll look for another job. Pat Narduzzi at Pittsburgh is there now 1-4 with the loss to Virginia Tech.
As soon as they have Midnight Madness in Indiana, they'll forget about basketball or football.
Well, at some point, though, somebody has to go out there and say, well, something doesn't look right out here. What are we doing? Come on now. We can't let this guy ruin what Lee Corso built here 40 years ago. And, you know, my favorite Lee Corso story of all time, they're beating Ohio State in the first quarter, 7-6. He calls a timeout, gets the team on the field in front of the scoreboard, and has them take a picture. One of the great stories of all time. Just so they could capture it, they went on to lose that game 49-7. All right, coming up, Eastman Credit Union guest picker, it's Tim Hayes. We're going to pick some games. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 to
BXM. Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks here on 93.5 WAXM. It's time to pick some games here tonight. It's Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton here with you as always. As fellas, we need to go for our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings where we get to our Eastman Credit Union guest picker tonight. And the man in number one remains there. It's going to be tough to beat this
guy. He's a legend.
He is a legend. Marty Smith told us that Alan Gregor, the Bristol Herald Courier, is a legend. He was a legendary picker 2 weeks ago when he joined us on September 21st and went 92.3%, 24 out of 26. He threw some love to Emory Henry, missed that game, and he also missed Oregon State. Washington State was the other game he missed that week. That was the only two he missed. Perfect in high school. Number two right now remains, just by a little bit, our 2022 defending champion, Pat Kenny, the retired writer from Kingsport Times News. He went 73.7% in week one. Our guest picker last week, Casey Getz from News Channel 5, WCYB, went 70.8%, 17 out of 24. Our 2021 champion from WCYB, Heather Williams, in fourth place at 69.6%, 16 out of 23. Kenny Hawkins, he's not in last place. He's happy to hear that. I checked in with him. He's happy to hear he's not in last place. From News Channel 11 WJHL at 60.9%, 14 out of 23. And maybe the most confident picker we've ever had on this show, who's in last place. Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News, 59.3%, 16 out of 27.
His arrogance blinds him.
Oh, boy. He was ready to roll that day.
You know, it's kind of cool because, you know, you got the newspaper guys that are parallel. So I don't know what.
The guys who joined me week one to preview the season, Tanner Cook did it from the Times News, and a man who previewed the Southwest Virginia season from the Bristol Herald Courier. Joining us tonight is our East McCready Union guest picker, our good buddy Tim Hayes. Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be back. I appreciate that. I'll have to get my colleague, Alan Gregory, there. That's going to be tough to top.
It's going to be tough to top of Alan. I tell you what, I haven't seen Alan yet to tell him, so we'll have to wait and see if the next time I see Alan to pass that information along. A game that I believe at least half of our pickers will be looking at this week with close eyes, at least will be in the presence, I'm sure of. That is, as we start our Food City game picks, is in the College Football Week 6. Emory and Henry at 2-3 travel to UVA Wise in Carl Smith Stadium, who sit at 1-4. 2 p.m. kickoff for homecoming at Carl Smith. You can listen to the game right here on 93.5 WXM with the voice of the Cavaliers, Steve Kern, back on the call. Pre-game at 1:30. Corey, I have to start with you, sir. I always do on UVA Wise games. Who wins the Southwest Virginia Bowl?
You know what? I'm just going to say it like this. The Cavs are going to be motivated. They know they got a job to do. I know I got a job to do that day. We got a plan. We got to win. You know what? Somebody call an Orchid Man, the Exterminator. I don't care. Call Raid. Whatever you need. Give me the Cavs to exterminate and annihilate and put them into extinction. The Wasp of Emory and Henry.
We knew it was coming. We all knew it.
Yes,
did.
Sir. Let's go.
Now, Steve Kern on the call, Mr. UVA Wise. Maybe the only person who bleeds red maybe more than you, Corey. The last time I broadcasted a UVA Wise Emory Henry game, him a basketball game, last year, he brought a swatter with him.
Oh, yeah, he loved it. Oh, we got him.
Bring him more. Good to hear. Good to hear. We got him. Thank you very much.
He's going
to
be dealing with Colonel Sanders Chicken over there. So
I've also broadcasted an Emory Henry UVA Wise game with Steve where he gave blood for that win. Steve was bleeding during the broadcast, and he wouldn't go off the air. He wanted that win so bad. Tim Hayes, you know Mr. Middle Fork very well. Who do you like though, Carl Smith on Saturday?
Man, this is a hard game to pick here because I don't know how good either team is. UVA-wise has lost four in a row. Emory and Henry's dropped three straight. So, I mean, this is a toss-up. I'm going to go with Emory in a close one. They've won four of the previous five meetings in this matchup. So I'll go with the Wasps.
Zach, I'm sure you have some wonderful stories of Steve as well, although obviously not in the same league at Emory and Henry during your time broadcasting with Curran. Who do you like, though, on Saturday between the Wasps and the Cavaliers?
Well, if you know Steve Kern, like we all do, tremendous young man who has little fears in life, one of them being of insects that can sting. I don't think Steve Kern's EpiPen will be able to hold off Emory and Henry this week. I'm going to go Wasps.
All righty, there you go. Emory Henry from Tim and Zach. A year ago, I'd have picked UVA Wise in this game, Corey. A year ago. This time, though, I'm going UVA Wise.
I'm already calling to get Tim's credentials revoked. He's coming up there. There's already saying.
I'll tell you one thing. Parking's already going to be an issue for him. But I'll go Emory Henry on the road. I will take the Wasps on the road at Carl Smith Stadium. 1 p.m. kick. Let's keep it there for an in-state battle in that Mountain Division of the South Atlantic Conference. Somebody's got to start winning some games in this division. Other than that's not named Mars Hill. How about Tusculum, who's 2-3? On the road to Carson Newman, who's 2-3. 1 p.m. kick down in Mossy Creek. Tim, who do you like between the Pioneers and the Eagles in the Battle of East Tennessee?
This game would have been easier to pick a week ago, but then Carson Newman went on the road, or I think they went on the road and shocked Newberry.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to stick with Tusculum. I think Jerry Odom's done a pretty good job there as head coach, the former Florida Gator, so I'll go with Tusculum in that one.
Tusculum already has a win, I believe, over Wingate earlier on in the league play as well. But you're right, Carson Newman on the road to beat Newberry last week out of nowhere after they got hammered by Limestone a few weeks ago. Zach, who do you like between Tusculum and Carson Newman?
I'm going to go Carson Newman at home in this one.
Yona CN, we're split so far. Corey, where are you at here in this Mountain Division battle? Where UVA Wise heads to where next week? Tusculum.
Yeah, for their homecoming. Yeah. You know, I guess I got to look at my statue of Jim Nansen down there at Carson Newman with the suit that probably wouldn't fit anybody who won that award. So with that, I don't think the win will fit. I think Tusculum wins this one.
Tusculum with a pick for Corey and Tim, the latest Jim Nance sportscaster you wrote on November. So named the new radio voice of the Los Angeles Clippers. Not the one we're talking about, though.
Second rate. Yeah,
I will go Tusculum on the road as well, though. I like the Pioneers to get back to 500 and get a big win there for Jerry Odom. And the Eagles and Mike Clowney and Carson Newman continue to have some issues even after the win over Newberry last week. Let's head to the Big Ten. Noon on Fox. It's an undefeated battle, Zach. Maryland's 5-0. But they head on the road to take on number 4, Ohio State, who's 4-0 and coming off a bye week. Last game was that victory over Notre Dame and their 10 men on the field, but Lou Holtz fighting for that 11th man out there with his physicality. Who wins at the horseshoe?
Yeah, I think I'm not really bought into this Maryland squad yet. I'm going to go Buckeyes at home.
Corey, Terps or Buckeyes?
Good God, that's a serious
play.
You
like Mike Locksley. You like
you but Mike not Locksley. But they've had a couple struggle wins against UVA and Charlotte. I know Ohio State's not the team that they've been a high power, but I got to go with the Buckeyes there.
Some people have to find that.
I'll make somebody in your household. Yeah, I'll make somebody happy in your life.
Thank you. Tim, who do you like between the Terps and the Buckeyes?
Ohio.
That would be Ohio State. I'll take Ohio State as well. Maryland, the first team outside of the top 25, undefeated 5-0, still couldn't find the way into the AP top 25 this week. They won't after this one either. All of us are on the Buckeyes. Noon on ESPN. This one's got some interesting vibes to it, Corey. Number 23 LSU coming off the loss to Ole Miss, where they gave up 55 points and 730-plus yards to the Rebels. They travel the number 21 undefeated Missouri noon on ESPN and Como. Tigers underdogs by a little less than a touchdown.
4-point underdogs.
Yeah, it's been moving down quickly. It was around 7 where it opened at. Public are all over the Tigers.
They are hammering the Tigers.
Tigers.
Yes, grr. I know the Tigers are going to win either way, but I like to buy you Bengal kitties. Give me the contrarian thought there as I'm going to go with those bums that I just took out of my eliminator.
LSU on the road for Corey. Tim, who do you like in Como between the Tigers with some purple, the Tigers with some black?
I'm going to agree with Corey on this one. I'm going to go with LSU. Maryland and Missouri will both lose that unbeaten record this week.
We'll see who else does. So we got a lot of unbeaten teams in the picks here tonight that are battling against other unbeaten teams. We're looking at you, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Texas, maybe Washington State, Florida State. Who knows about your Hokies maybe later on. Zach, maybe they can pull an upset when we pick that game. We got Louisville, who's undefeated later tonight. But how do you like in LSU, Missouri on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'll tell you what. I love what LSU's doing despite the loss. But Missouri is one of my favorite states, and let me tell you why. I was stationed there for a little bit when I played G.I. Joe years ago, and one of the great things about Missouri is they have drive-through liquor stores. So that sole fact alone, I'm going to go Missouri at home.
Missouri at home for Zach. My favorite story about Missouri involves their radio crew. Mike Kelly, the voice of their radio crew, was trying to get to a game at Ole Miss a few years ago for basketball. His engineer had stopped with the gear before they got to the airport at a smoke shop. What he forgot to do when he went inside the smoke shop was he left the key in the ignition and the car still running. So while he was in there getting his smokes, he came back out. The car was gone, as was the tie line gear. He never got it back. Ole Miss gave him some spare gear to use, though, once they got down to Oxford. But that was the most interesting story I'd heard out of Missouri since Dan Devine was the coach. Missouri at home is an interesting pick. Eli Drinkwitz doing a nice job there this year for the former App State head coach. But I like LSU to get back in the win column. This just feels like a game Brian Kelly wins. He doesn't lose multiple of these except for that one weird year where he went 4-8 at Notre Dame. I'll go LSU on the road. Red River Rivalry. Let's head to the State Fair in Dallas, the Cotton Bowl. Number 12, Oklahoma, kind of sliding under the radar, Tim. They're undefeated in year 2 for Brent Venables. They take on one of the hot commodities in the sport, number 3, Texas. Noon on ABC, Longhorns or Sooners for Tim Hayes?
Been a long time since this game had this much meaning in it, but I'm going to go hook 'em horns in that one.
Texas for Tim. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Texas as well.
Favored by around a touchdown, Corey. Who do you like between Oklahoma and Texas?
We said hammering in the last one. They are hemorrhaging on Texas to at that 6.5 number. I don't think they cover, but I think they win.
Texas for Corey, Tim, and Zach. I've said this all week. If I was an AP voter and Texas wins this game, I'd vote Texas number one in the poll. They'd have the two best wins in the sport by tandem, not being that they're the number one and two best wins, but the best grouping of two wins on the road at Alabama and a neutral site win over Oklahoma. I'd put Ohio State's win over Notre Dame on the road right up there with the Alabama win as maybe in conversation for number one. But Texas would have two, the best tandem of wins. I'd put them number one in the rankings if they win it. I think they do. I'm buying again. I've been burned before. We'll see if I get burnt with the orange this time as well. I'll go Texas at the Cotton Bowl. We're all in the Longhorns. All right, 3 o'clock, Pac-12 Network. See if you can find it. If you can, Zach, to watch this one. Number 13, Washington State, heads to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. They're 3-1. Who do you like between the Cougars and the future Big Ten Bruins?
One of the things about the Rose Bowl, not many people know, is they hold a flea market outside the Rose Bowl a lot of weekends throughout the year. I expect more UCLA fans to be at the flea market than inside the stadium. I'm a Cougar. I'm a Cougar lover. I'm going to go Cougars on the road.
Washington State for Zach. Hopefully Lee Corso doesn't make any comments about Washington State this time for a big game. Jake Dickert, their head coach, got very mad about the 88-year-old man making comments at them a few weeks ago. Corey, but can Washington State win it on the field against UCLA?
If he's too worried about what an 88-year-old man's doing, he's not prepared for what Chip Kelly's got for him. Give me the Bruins.
UCLA at home for Corey. Tim.
We mentioned Steve Curran earlier. He once broke into the Rose Bowl while visiting California, and I think Washington State will invade the stadium this week and win.
Hopefully time has passed enough by there where Steve doesn't have somebody with LAPD on their shirt come knocking on his door trying to see what temperature his hot tub is anytime soon. I will take, though, UCLA at home as well. I'm with you, Corey.
Yeah.
That number's interesting to me. They're favored by a field goal was last time I saw it. I'll take Chip Kelly and the Bruins. What does the Pac-12 always do when they're rolling? They start beating up on each other. Washington State's undefeated. What does UCLA need to do?
Mm-hmm.
They need to beat up on somebody. They put a final blow into Washington State's undefeated hopes. They get their first loss of the year to the Bruins. Let's head to Tallahassee, shall we? 3:30 ABC. Zach, I'm coming back to you. Virginia Tech's 2-3. They're coming off the first ACC win of the year in really dominant fashion over Pittsburgh in the second half last week. But now they head to number 5, Florida State, who's 4-0 and coming off a bye week. Who wins at the Doak?
Hey, let me tell you something. Y'all didn't believe Virginia Tech. I did.
God did.
Corey did. All right. No. We know what's up. There's a renaissance unfolding right now. Virginia Tech and Brent Pry are going into Tallahassee, and they're coming out with a win.
Is this for real?
You stop it.
All right.
This is for real.
Okay.
Put it in.
I wrote it down.
Laugh now.
I wrote it down. Virginia Tech's on. I got the VT wrote down under his column. Corey, you can see it here. I'd already wrote down FSU, but I had to mark it out. Put down VT. I thought he was going to do the Corso, this sort of build up and pull the rug out from under him. Not happening. Corso's a hokey. He believes somebody else's too after his car got struck by lightning many years ago. Sanchez, who wins in Tallahassee?
Ah!
That's a true story. That's a true story. There's a T-shirt with it, actually. I'm sure Tim and Zach have seen it.
Woo, Lord. Zach's going to be pulling like Antonio Brown dancing up in the end zone now after that pick. Florida State going away.
Florida State for Corey. Virginia Tech for Zach. Tim, who do you like in Tallahassee between the Hokies and the Seminoles?
Yeah, when I think of Florida State and Virginia Tech, you can't help but remember that Sugar Bowl years ago when Peter Warwick and Snoop Menace were burning that Tech secondary play after play, and I think it'll be similar in Tallahassee this weekend.
They ate their lunch right out of the lunch pail that night. I'll take Florida State at home as well. 3:30 on CBS. Number 11, Alabama, 4-1, 2-0 in the SEC. Core, they've beat up on the Mississippi schools the last 2 weeks to get wins. They head to Texas and Kyle Field to take on Texas A&M, who kind of sliding under the radar after that loss to Miami. They blew out Auburn, blew out Arkansas at Jerry's World last week. 3:30 CBS, A&M, Point and a Hook dog at home to the Tide. Last time they played there, A&M won. Mm-hmm. With Zach Calzada as their quarterback. Now it's Max Johnson, the son of Brad Johnson, who's back in at QB after Connor Weichmann's season came to an end of an injury. Corey, Tide or Aggies at Kyle Field in front of the 12th man?
Well, I like Brad Johnson. His 99 season in Washington, one of the best I've seen. The only good one I've seen. So, with that being said, roll Tide, roll.
Alabama for Corey. He's not buying into the Aggies. Tim, how about you?
You know, Jimbo Fisher played quarterback at Samford and once lost to an Emory and Henry team quarterback by Gary Collier, the Ryko coach. But I think he'll lose to Saban this week.
A lot of losing there for Jimbo in that pick there by Tim. Zach, how does he do this time?
Tim always brings out the bright moments. I had a frog in my throat. Sorry. I'm going to go, Bama. Bama on the road. They owe the fine folks there. They owe the fine folks there something.
Oh, gosh.
I've never been more scared in my entire life the stuff that's been said on this show the last 3 years, and why was that the thing that scared me the most?
It was like his voice changed so quick. I'm like, okay.
Sorry, I'm smoking over here.
Stop going to the smoke shop. Somebody will steal your radio gear. I just told the story to you a minute ago. Jeez, all right. Remember Jalen Milroe started this game last year and barely won. Now he'll start this game as the actual starting QB. I think it's a close one. I'm still believing in the Tide, though. They were my preseason national championship pick. I can't give up on them quite yet. I'll go Alabama on the road, but boy, do I not feel great about all the ALA on my sheet right now, fellas. Let's go 7 p.m. ESPN Between the Hedges, Tim. Number 20, Kentucky. They're undefeated. They had the number one Georgia. Stoops needs a win against Kirby Smart. Can he find one in Athens Saturday night?
Nope. Kentucky gets exposed, and Georgia will play its best game of the year and get that one.
Zach, that's a big sell there on Georgia. You've always liked the dog since the beginning of this show a few years ago. Do you still like them this week?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Georgia at home. I don't think the Wildcats have what they need to go in and get that win.
Corey, do you believe in Big Blue?
That what they call it, the Big Blue Wall? That thing's coming tumbling down this week.
That wall moved all over Florida last week. 280 yards rushing for Ray Davis. Made what Tennessee did against Florida a few weeks ago very bad looking in the swamp. They win that one at Kroger Field. This one's between the hedges in the dark in prime time. Give me Georgia. They're going to hear barking all night long. And who's that coming down the track? You know the song. I'm not going to sing it again. I already taught it to you last year, Corey, when you had to sing it to somebody else. I'm going to go Georgia at home, though. All right, let's head to Louisville. It's a top 25 matchup. Number 10, Notre Dame. Another primetime game against an undefeated team for the Irish. Zach, they head to Louisville to take on the undefeated Cardinals. They're 5-0 under your first-year head coach, Jeff Brohm. 7:30, ABC. Who do you like between the Irish and the Cardinals in the home of Muhammad Ali?
I think Notre Dame goes into the pizza box and gets the win.
Is that still Papa John's Stadium? Did they rename it? Is it still Papa John's Stadium?
Well, after the trouble Papa John's got into a while back, they probably renamed it.
But. That's where I almost said it a few minutes ago, and then you brought it up. I thought, all right, since you brought it up, I'll go for it. I don't know if it still is or not, but it was the Papa John's Stadium there in Louisville. I'm not sure if it still is.
Someone on our team Google it.
Thank you. We'll get research right on that. I almost made a joke. I'm not going to do it. Okay, Corey, who do you like between Notre Dame and Louisville?
Better ingredients, better pizza, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame for Corey and Zach. It was Hartman making some frozen pizza out of DiGiorno last week and winning that game against Duke. Tim, can he do it again against Louisville?
No, I'm going to go with Louisville. I think at one time the stadium was Johnny Unitas Stadium, so I think they should keep it named that after their most famous alum.
I would agree, and I just looked it up. You're right, they should name it that, but why it is not, who knows.
They didn't give enough money to school.
L&N Federal Credit Union Stadium is what it's now known as. That's really got me excited. I'll go Notre Dame.
Rolls right off the tongue.
It does, doesn't it? Hey, what's that new place of the ketchup bottle? What's it named now?
Oh, I don't even know what it is.
Isn't it like Ensure or something?
Yeah, that's not good.
Inspire, not good. Canada Field.
Yeah, gosh, it's just not good.
Canada Field.
Hey, you know what is good? The Black Hole. That's where Chucky Doak plays at. Let's head to Northeast Tennessee for Week 8, Corey. The Longhorns of Johnson County take on the 6-1 Black Knights. Who do you like at the Black Hole between Johnson County and the Chucky Doak?
Well, the Chucky Doak is going to be a good night for the Black Knights in the Black Hole.
Chucky Doak for Cora. Tim.
You know, just up the road from Chucky Doak, pro wrestling legend Ricky Morton has a wrestling school. And I think Chucky Doak will lay the smack down on Johnson County this week.
We can get somebody enrolled in that.
Yeah, well, he doesn't need to. He's already in the Hall of Fame. Chucky Doak's already got all the wins for everybody so far here. Zach, how about you?
Well, you know, I didn't dabble in backyard wrestling after my first divorce, but I did call that time period in my life the black hole. I'm going to go Johnson County, a shocking upset of Chucky Doak.
You love you some Johnson County. You love I'm not sure you've picked against Johnson County this week.
They're great people down there.
Mountain City is a wonderful place. I'm going to go Chucky Doak at home, the Fighting Bobby Raiders. I got to do it for some job security. Northview Academy on the road at Elizabethton. The Cyclones remain undefeated, Tim, with their win over Dobbins Bennett last week. They host Northview Academy. Their record may be a little bit misleading when they're going on the road to take on Elizabethton. Who do you like at the bank in Carter County?
I think things are going to start going south for Northview. They got Elizabethton this week and Greenville next week, so I'm going to go with Elizabethton in this one.
Yeah, make sure you shield your eyes there if you're the Northview Academy fans. It's not going to be pretty the next 14 days. Zach, how does it start off for them, though, on Friday night?
Yeah, Betsy wins this one big, I think.
Big is the call by Zach Helton. Corey, who do you like in Elizabethton, the home of Jason Witten? And it should be said, Evan Carter, who helped lead the Texas Rangers to a wild card series win over the Rays this week.
Yeah, that's irrelevant. Let's go with Elizabethan.
Two guys from Elizabethan making professional noise in the Dallas area.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about
the
that.
Cowboys?
I
mean, no, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
It's not the real playoffs.
I understand.
Yeah, it's not the real
playoffs. I understand.
Playoffs.
I got you. I'm just saying that, you know,
fake.
Evan Carter did a nice showing. He reached the base, first six playoff appearance. Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry. Elizabethan for everybody. I'm picking the Cyclones.
Is Evan Carter related to Aaron Carter, the pop singer from years ago?
Rest in peace.
I don't know.
Either way, they're going to come get it.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Goodness gracious sakes alive. Let's head back down to Jefferson City, to Jeff County. We were already there pretty much for the Carson Newman Tusculum game, Zach. Let's do it again, though. Let's head to Dumplin Valley. That's where Westridge has to go with their 4-2 record. They take on the 5-1 Patriots of Jefferson County, who got a big win in overtime last week over Mo West. How does it go this time in Dumplin Valley?
Well, you know, I'm going to go Jeffrey County to win against Ridgeview South.
Corey, I love that area down there for the most part because their name's not really going down there. It's not one of my favorite things in the entire world. Jefferson County's got Mossy Creek.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Dumplin Valley. You know, it's always foggy on Mossy Creek. Obviously, the Carson Newman Eagles. Now the Jefferson County Patriots, they're 5-1. Do they go 6-1? Does Westridge get a win?
I just want to see Jim Nance. That's all. The only thing in Jefferson County that I'll ever pick, Jefferson County.
Jefferson County for what if they play Emory Henry? Yeah, that would be a tough choice for you. Tim, who do you like between the Wolves and the Patriots?
I'll go with Jeff County, former UT Vol. Spencer Riley's done a heck of a job as a head coach there, and I think they'll keep rolling this week.
Tim, that's a good job there. Way to placate the host. I appreciate that. That's usually what I always have to throw about Jefferson County. I'll add one more wrinkle to it. Starting offensive line with the 1998 national champions. I'll take Jefferson County at home as well. All right, David Crockett travels to Tennessee High. It's 500 all the way around. 3-3, David Crockett. 3-3, Tennessee High, Corey. Tennessee High trying to find a win against a team that's not from, well, Virginia. After wins over at Gate City and Abbott in the last 2 weeks, Hayden Shanley heads to the Stone Castle. Pioneers or Vikings?
Yeah, homecoming, I got to go with my alums, so give me the King of the Wild.
A little DC talk there for Corey. How about you, Tim?
No, I'm going to go with Tennessee High at home. I think they're finally healthy, or they've had some injuries, actually, but I think they're playing pretty well right now.
We're split so far. Zach, where are you on this one?
You know, I think the Tennessee High young men drive into their campus, and they see an inspirational sign at a local restaurant on the way in, and they go out and get the win on Friday night.
Tennessee High at home. That's all I'm going to say to that one. All righty, let's head to Southwest Virginia. Let's head to the Black Diamond District, Tim. Grundy's 1-4. Twin Valley's 2-3. Who wins, though, to get a big early district win?
I think you got to tip your hat to Tommy Krieger at Twin Valley, keeping that team together after last year's disastrous season, but he's a former Grundy quarterback, but I don't think his alma mater will take it easy on him. I'll go with Grundy.
Zach, you love you some Tommy Krieger. How does he fare against his alma mater?
Yeah, this is the Tommy Krieger Bowl. You know what? I think this one, you know, Twin Valleys beat Grundy once in all their history. I don't think it's going to happen again this week. I think Grundy forces their weight around, and they've got a lot more depth. So I think they pull it off.
Grundy's won the last seven. They won the first eight. Twin Valley is that one there in the middle there, Corey. The Tommy Krieger Bowl is what Zach Helton's calling it. What's bigger this week, the Tommy Krieger Bowl, the Southwest Virginia Bowl? We'll find out who wins this one, though.
Let's hope they don't. If they lose, they'll play next week, we hope. I just hope they have those district voters for the football team like they have in basketball. So
region voters?
Yeah.
Our good friends.
Yep.
Grundy on the road for everybody. I'll go Grundy as well to get win number two. Rural Retreat travels to Lebanon, Zach. Indians coming off the big win against Patrick Henry while the Pioneers have fought their way back to 500 and are right now in the playoffs in Region 2D. Who wins on the stadium in the field that has a little bit of an incline in it?
Yeah, I got a little bit of an incline. You know what? I'm going to go Pioneers at home. I like Lebanon in this one.
Lebanon at home for Zach. Corey, if it has an incline, it means it has to have a decline on one side of it. They're sort of on the back half of the season for Lebanon. Do they keep it rolling downhill with a win of a Rural Retreat?
Well, I think Zach's made a new home down there in Lebanon because he's always going to those games. So if he trusts him, I trust him.
Lebanon for Corey and Zach. Tim, are you buying into Jamie Hughes and the Indians off their big win last week or going with the home team?
That was a big win last week, but I'm going to agree with these other guys. I'm going with Lebanon at home.
Lebanon at home for everyone. I'll hop on Lebanon as well. Let's head to the Southwest District. Let's head to Gene Malcolm Stadium. Tazewell at Virginia High, Corey. Bulldogs 3-2. Virginia High 1-4 for Derek Patterson's squad. They need a win desperately. Can they find one Friday night?
Who let the dogs out?
That'd be Tazewell. Tim, who do you like in this one?
This is a tough one to pick. I mean, Virginia High's had 2 weeks to prepare coming off their bye week. And like you said, I mean, they're playing for their season pretty much. But I still think Tazewell has too much firepower. I'll go with the Bulldogs.
Everybody's on Jamie Harris and the Dogs. Zach, will you do it? Will you pick Tazewell?
Unfortunately, yes, I will.
Wow. Everybody on Tazewell. I know that hurts you. Luckily, though, we don't have Rich Lands on the pick sheet this week. There's good news for you there. You don't have to hurt yourself anymore beyond that.
I think Open may get them this week.
Oh, they're going to cover the spread and win it outright, huh? Is that what you're telling me?
I think Open's got a shot, man.
Well, tell you what. You know what? When Open comes to town, you toss out the records. I'll go Tazewell on the road, though, to get 4-2. And then at this point, we kind of had this conversation about Central the other night, Corey. They maybe have lost too many to trying to find their way back home to the postseason. Virginia High is teetering on that line right now. We'll see if they can do it, though, but I'll go Tazewell on the road as well. Marion's 2-3. They travel to Abingdon. The Falcons, who are sitting there looking to get back over 500. That John Battle loss, Tim, in week one to your Trojans, you know, the Fighting Tim Hayes out there, they seems like a distant memory. Wins over Gate City. Wins now over Central. They also have a tough loss to Tennessee High, but who cares? In Christiansburg, nobody wants that one. How do they do against Marion from the Southwest District?
Yeah, I saw that game when they played at Stone Castle against Tennessee High. And, I mean, they were in that game in the fourth quarter. It was tied up. I don't know how John Battle beat them after seeing Abingdon play. So chalk that up to a fluke maybe. But I'm going to go with Abingdon beating Marion.
Zach, I can't believe it either after how John Battle's played since then. Who do you like, though, at Falcon Stadium on Friday night?
Well, this is kind of tough for me. There's some great people at Marion. Always some great sights and stuff when I go over there. I like seeing things on the sideline and such. I'm going to go Abingdon at home, though. I think Abingdon pulls this one off.
What a talent, Corey. Also for the folks at Marion, rest in peace to their mayor, the Cat. Corey, who do you like?
Oh, okay. Anyway.
It's an actual thing. Their cat mayor died. I'm being serious.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'll tell my people or the former people.
Yeah, I was going to say sorry. The people you know. You know a few people over there.
Yeah, unfortunately. John Sabo. So we'll say sorry to him when we see him. Yeah, there's no Falcon way, as Zach would say.
Abingdon for everybody. I will as well. Holston and Patrick Henry. Zach, who do you like between the Cavaliers and the Rebels as Patrick Henry trying to find their way back home after the loss to Rural Retreat?
Patrick Henry's pretty tough at home. I'm going to go Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, give me Patrick Henry.
Everybody's on PH. Tim, you'll be at this one. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the winner of this basically locks up a playoff berth, to be honest. I think that gives them points, or if they get maybe one more win, they're in. Both these teams are well coached. Chris Akers at Holston, Seth Padgett at PH. PH bounced back after that loss to Grundy, and I think they'll bounce back after the loss to Royal Treat. I'll go PH.
Patrick Henry, with the two losses right now, the two teams who aren't in the playoffs, Grundy and Royal Retreat, it hasn't mattered yet to the points. They're still right now inside it, according to the VHSL at number six. They need a win to help that out there and sort of give them some cushion. I like them at home as well. Everybody's on the Rebels. We've agreed on the first five games. Let's see if we can get some disagreements going here, fellas. Hurley travels to Thomas Walker, Corey. That's a big trip there for the Rebels down to Ewing to take on the 3-2 Pioneers, who sit right now in number seven in the points. Hurley with a new head coach at number 11. Who wins between Hurley and Thomas Walker?
Well, I think, is it true Hurley's leaving tonight to get down there?
I think maybe early next morning, early
okay.
Friday morning.
Okay, all right. They'll get back early Sunday morning. Anyway, with that being said, I will take T. Walker.
Thomas Walker for Corey. Tim.
I'm going to stick with Corey on this one, too. I mean, I talked to Zach Deal, the new Hurley head coach. He was kind of thankful they had a bye week to go through the transition of him taking over, but I don't think it'll matter. I think Thomas Walker wins.
Them and Holston had a bye week after that situation a couple of weeks ago. Zach, who do you like in the matchup down in Ewing?
You know, I'm just a little disappointed in Corey. It's Dr. Thomas Walker. You put some respect on his name. Thomas Walker at home, though. We're pro Cumberland here.
Thomas Walker at home. We have the Pioneers in a couple of weeks. October 20th. They go up to Carl McConnell. We'll be there in the barbershop chairs, Corey. At least you will be. I'll be standing up trying to pull that the one that's near me out of its, you know, screws in the floor. I'll take Thomas Walker at home, though. Twin Springs travels to Castlewood. Tim, who do you like between the Titans and can the Blue Devils maybe pull off an upset and get win number two back-to-back after beating Northwood last week?
I don't think so. I think Twin Springs is pretty dang talented. Even I talked to a coach from Union, and he was saying that team might go pretty far in the playoffs after he played against them the other night. So I think the Titans win big.
Zach, I was trying to sell Twin Springs going into the season. They're starting to get bought in on. Could they maybe overlook Castlewood here coming off the loss to Union, a Region 2D opponent, maybe the best team in that region, one of the best teams in all of Class 2? We're trying to sell some tickets here for our friends in Russell County. Can the Blue Devils go back-to-back over the Titans?
Well, I'll tell you this, if you want to sell tickets, definitely head over to the barbecue stand right under the scoreboard at Castlewood. Some of the best concession food around if you go Friday or any other Friday for that matter to Castlewood. Aside that, for the game, I think Castlewood's win has put Twin Springs on notice. And I don't think Twin Springs overlooks the Blue Devils. I think Twin Springs goes in and wins pretty handily.
Corey, a couple things. I think, one, Zach's getting paid by that barbecue stand because this is two straight weeks he's brought it up. Number
Rip
two,
fries are fantastic.
They need to buy ad space now.
Castlewood is actually leading this all-time series 26-21, but Twin Springs is one of the last two. Who wins in Russell County?
That's a serious question.
I have to ask the question that was on the sheet.
The question is posed. It is ridiculous.
T.S.
Twin Springs.
Okay, let's keep in the Cumberland District here. This one's going to be interesting. Rye Cove travels to Carl McConnell. They'll like the barbershop chairs, Zach. Who do you like in Coburn against Rye Cove and Eastside? Rye Cove never beat the Spartans until last year. Now can they make it back-to-back over Eastside and sort of build some momentum off the win over Lehigh?
You know, as the Eagle flies, it's not really that far to Coburn from the Cove. With that short trip, I'm going to say Rye Cove wins their second in a row over Eastside.
Just take a left after your first curve, another right, another left, and just keep going around the curves, and you'll get there, Corey. Rye Cove or Eastside?
Just survive the Jefferson National Forest. That's all you got to do, right?
Yeah.
With that being said, the Eagles do survive that, and they will fly high.
Everybody's on Rye Cove on the road so far, Tim. Who do you like at Eastside as Mike Roach's squad? Maybe a little bit better than some people thought so far this year. They're 3-2.
I'm going to keep it unanimous. I'm going Rye Cove.
I'm on Rye Cove, too. We've picked seven games. No, I beg your pardon. We've picked eight games, and we've agreed on all eight. We've got three more here, fellas. Let's see what we got. Everybody's 1-4 in Norton on Friday night. John Battle travels to Central. It's homecoming for the folks there at Central. Corey against the Trojans. 1-4 John Battle, 1-4 Central. Central's won the last three in this series, but they've lost their last four games. But oh, wait, so has John Battle. who wins in this Mountain District clash between the Trojans and the Warriors?
Ooh. Well, you know, we have a lot of respect for John Battle and Tim Hayes here. I think that I think Central's going to give it a good ploy at it. So give me the Warriors.
Central for Corey. Tim, who wins this one between some teams trying to find their way in district play?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically an elimination game. You lose this one, your hopes are all but shot. I think Battle's a little better offensively. I'll go with the Trojans.
John Battle for Tim. Central for Corey. Zach, we've got disagreements finally. Hallelujah. Where are you at on this side?
Well, if you ever, you know, go into the John Battle locker room, you'll see a picture of a young Tim Hayes in his football uniform, a little flat top hairdo. They pound that for respect on the way out to the field. But Central, right up on top of that Walmart, they sell a lot of Bristol papers there as well. John Battle in a squeaker.
John Battle on the road for Tim and Zach. I believe the Tim Hayes Shrine, there's one that you're talking about that's the high top. I think there's another one actually in the school where it actually has that Mike Norvell Central Arkansas look with the cornrows. Looks really good there for Tim Hayes. It's near Jimmy Gobble's picture, obviously. It's the Shrine of the Greatest Athletes.
Above Jimmy Gobble's picture.
It's above, right. Yeah, he's got him in the Royals, and they're like, no, who cares? We got Tim Hayes looking like Mike Norvell. Who cares? John Battle on the road for me as well. I'm going to go with Brad Ricker and the Trojans. I saw Central for the first time during the regular season last week, and it's just tough for me to pick them right now, even though I know John Battle's having their own issues. I'll take the Trojans. The game we'll have on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. J.I. Burton is 0-5, but they gave Eastside a battle last week, Tim. Tied at the half, they lost 28-14 on homecoming night at Lawson Fitchco. They head to Five-Star Stadium to take on Lehigh and Joey Carroll's squad, who's 2-3 and lost their last two to Ridgeview and Rye Cove. Can Lehigh get back in the win column at home on Friday night against the Raiders?
Yeah, I think Lehigh will bounce back against their third Cumberland District opponent of the season. I think Lehigh wins big.
Zach, who do you like down in Ben-Hur?
Well, who do I like in Ben-Hur? Well, the people who threw batteries at me, I really don't like those people. I'm gonna go Generals. I'm gonna go Generals on this one.
Lehigh to get back to 500 for everybody so far. Corey, where are you at?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the battery-charged Generals.
All right, Lehigh for everybody. I'm going to hop on Lehigh as well at home. I think they keep J.I. Burton winless on the year. And then Burton hosts George Wythe next week. Ridgeview at Union. We had Dwayne Stanley, the head coach of the Wolfpack. Travis Turner, the head coach of the Bears, on the show earlier tonight. We'll be there for 93.5 WXM tomorrow night at Bullet Park. Wolfpack, Bears, Ridgeview's undefeated. Union's 5-1. But they have the wins already on their record. Zach, they've got the wins over Graham, Gate City, now Twin Springs, the top team in Region 1D, Lehigh, Richlands, that's certainly at the top of the list of their best wins on the year. How do they fare, though, this time against Ridgeview, who sits there at 6-0?
Well, I watched a little bit of film on Ridgeview in their win over Richlands last week. I think they were playing down to Richlands a little bit. Two, I think they may have been looking ahead to this one, and they really didn't look that sharp. So, I mean, if that Ridgeview team comes into Bullet Park, Union's going to have their way. But I really think that Ridgeview's gearing up for this one. I think this one may be one of those all-time LPD-type games that used to hit that stadium all the time. I think Union's going to squeak it out, though. I think this one's going to down to maybe the last possession or two.
From your lips to God's ears, brother, I'm looking for a close game. I'm praying for one. Still my closest game of the year is 34-0, the game out of the halftime. That's how good it's been going for us so far this year. Corey, who do you like in Bullet Park?
Yeah, I like the spot we're at. Dwayne Stanley still hasn't lost in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
He's not lost a district game. He's not lost in Virginia. He's rolling right along. Yeah, can he make it 7-0 this year?
Prevailing thoughts here. I would say I think the streak ends. Give me the Bears.
Union for Corey.
Give me Jacob Townsend's Bears.
No, I'm just a guy who went to school there. Union for Corey. Union for Zach. Tim. Ridgeview's never won in Big Stone Gap. Does that change on Friday night and they stay undefeated? There's Union pretty much take the crown as the top team of Region 2D in emphatic fashion with wins over Graham, Ridgeview, and Gate City on their resume.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Union. I mean, they went into Bluefield and Mitchell Stadium and won. They gave Science Hill all they could handle. I just think the Bears, this is their year. I'm going with Union in this one.
I like Union as well. It's homecoming night. Two straight weeks of homecoming for us, Corey. We had homecoming last week in Abingdon. They're going to do it at halftime, though. I will tell you, I kind of like the pregame. I said that earlier in the show.
After you were complaining about it,
because I wasn't used to it. I kind of liked it.
You were complaining about it.
I kind of liked it. It may have to do with the score that was at halftime, and I didn't want to stay there very much longer. But who knows?
I agree with you. Get it over with before the game.
Agreed. Yeah.
I agreed. I was like, I liked it from the jump. This one was like, I've never seen this before.
I had never seen that. Was a fact.
Why are they
doing?
Why are they doing this?
I liked it.
I was like, what is wrong with you? I said, this is good.
I liked it.
I had to talk them off the ledge about it.
Actually, they didn't put us out on the ledge. I was very thankful.
You're welcome.
So
it pays to know people.
I'm going to go with Union at home as well.
There
Corey,
you go.
How about that crowd we saw a few weeks ago for the Gate City game?
Lord have mercy. It will be massive.
Can I just say this? There's one person I'm praying for on Friday night. It's called Eddie Stanley. Eddie Stanley's our board op. Yeah. Eddie, I won't be able to hear you when you try to talk to me, pal.
No.
God bless you. We're going to try our best.
Send smoke signals.
We're going to try
our
best.
There might be more people at that game than there were at that Tampa Bay Rays playoff game.
That's true.
They're going to have more fans at that game and also the 1919 World Series. That is what's going to be there at the Bullet Park on Friday night. I'm going to go Union as well. Guys, we only disagreed on one game in all of Southwest Virginia. We'll see how we do as Tim's going to try to rally on Alan Gregory and his Bristol Herald Courier brethren at the top of the board in our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings. Tim, safe travels around the area this weekend covering the football games. And as always, pal, thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Enjoyed it always, yeah.
Tim Hayes joining us here as our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. Let's remember our games this week. Ridgeview at Union on Friday night. Following the re-air of Pigskin Picks at 5 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 6:30 on 93.5 WAXM, if I remember to bring the interviews with me. Also over on 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, it's J.I. Burton on the road at Lee High. Down at Five Star Stadium. Pregame 6:45. Kickoff at 7 for Aaron Collier and the Raiders taking on the Generals. Then it is homecoming. It's the Southwest Virginia Bowl. It's all at Carl Smith Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Pregame 1:30, kickoff at 2. Emory Henry at UVA Wise right here on 93.5 WAXM. Go out there.
You know one of the great things, though,
yes,
real quick?
Yes.
You know, Tim and I share the fact that we are probably the two most knowledgeable sports insomnia-ridden people on the earth. We do a lot of our conversations at 2 and 3 in the morning.
That's right.
When you guys are sleeping, we're talking sports.
Actually, that's when I've been waking up this week, but that's okay as well. Yeah, it's been one of those weeks. But yes, I know that you both for you like the late night, or it's not even really a late night for you. If you don't actually go to sleep, is it actually every night?
It's not.
No one knows. But we'll find that out again. It's Emory Henry, UVA Wise, pregame 1:30, kickoff at 2. On the UVAY Sports Network right here on 93.5 WAXM. And we'll be back with you next Thursday night at 8 o'clock. As always, for Zach Hilton, for Corey Sanchez, I'm Jacob Townsend. Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Pigs is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.